cute. Pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, this is going to be one of those shows. It's going to be one of those shows. So here's what you need to do right now. You need to go onto Facebook or your email list, whatever it is, and say, hey, listen, you got to catch Coach this morning, because it's going to be one of those shows. Just promise you it is. It's the 20th of August, 2018. Thanks for joining us here today. They've got 30-some people in the queue. And as we know, people listen in New Zealand and Australia. Whoops, I found out those aren't the same places. They hate each other, by the way. There's Simon Owen told me that. And the UK, and wow. I think some are even listening here in Hebron, Ohio, although I couldn't swear to it. What a weekend. First of all, my wife has been out of town. And, you know, we've been married, I'd have to have her tell me, 38 years maybe. I don't remember. I can count on I'm always leaving town. I'm always leaving, running, doing this, doing that, always doing that, going places. But she never leaves me. She never leaves home. What she did this weekend, one of her friends down in Savannah, Georgia, just recently underwent some surgery. And they've been friends since like elementary school. So Michelle flew down for 4 days to help her after her surgery. Michelle's a great nursemaid. I mean, she just, what a loving, caring person. And so she's going to be back tonight. Got to pick her up at the airport this evening, and it'd be good to have her home. But it's been good, because I had a really, really, really full weekend. I'm going to want to share with y'all. I spent the weekend with L.A. Marzulli. Some of you know who L.A. is. Some of you who don't know. He was in here in Ohio this weekend, he and his wife Peggy, doing some filming and some investigation and some traipsing around in the Ohio mounds, earthworks in Ohio, which they told us for years and years and years are done by the Hopewell Indians. Weekend with LA, and that will, you won't believe that anymore. So somebody asked, Vince asked this morning, yes, I have continued to work out. I told some of you, hey, keep me, you know, keep my feet to the fire here. I've only missed like one, well, I missed 4 days when we were in Long Island. I just couldn't get that routine, but I walked 10 miles yesterday. I'm down about double digit in pounds, feeling healthy as a horse, and happy and grateful to God that he inspired me to get out and get moving and feeling good. Got a good crowd in here with us today. Hey, Jared, pull the schedule up there. Tomorrow we're going to have Tanya on. You say, who's Tanya? Well, Tanya's going to organize our event in Bethlehem, PA. Gary's working with a couple that are working together to pull an event together out there in Bethlehem, PA. I don't know if David Arthur's in here today. I got to catch up with David, Don Voss, or any of those guys. Don, are you in here? They just went up in Elkhart, I think. No, is it Elkhorn? Elkhorn, Wisconsin. And there was the first ever gay pride event up there. And David Arthur, and I was invited up by Don Voss and some of the other guys up there. And they lifted up the name of the Lord there in Elkhorn. I don't see any of them in here today. Any of you are, jump in here. Tell us how that went. David will probably come rolling in here someplace, or maybe he's on his way home. I want to make you aware of some things that I'm still looking at the list over here. I want to make you our schedule. Look, we moved, you know, we're only, what, been 11 days from September. How can that be, huh? And on Sunday, September 9th, I'm going to be at the gathering here, filling the pulpit for Pastor Tom Gill. September 14th, looking forward to it. Just booked my flight down to Texas for Chad's Greater Texas Salt and Light Brigade Assembly down at the Estes Ranch. Folks, if you're in Texas, you're anywhere near that, this is going to be a great event. Michelle and I are going to fly down there and spend the weekend as well. It's a good chance to get together and fellowship and know each other. That's a must do. October 17th, we got a lot of other little things in here that I'm going to fill in the schedule on. But October 17th, we're going to be up with Rob Pugh and the crew up in – hey, Don Voss just joined. Don, I'm going to have you come in here in a second. I'm just talking about you. earnestly contending for the faith in Marshfield and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Obie, how'd you get? I closed that door. How'd you get down here? And so that's another event you want to get on your calendar and try to get to if you're in that area, October 17th and 19th. Then we're doing a regional huddle, as I said, in Bethlehem, PA, on November 3rd. Still working on those details. We're doing another regional huddle November 10th, the next weekend, at Rose Hill Covenant Church in Tulsa, I think that is. How about that, man? We're filling this thing up. And then I've got in my email, I got to confirm some more. We may be going to California. We may be going to the Carolinas. We may be going to Mississippi. We may be going to Iowa. Folks, let's make this happen where you are. Let's build these huddles. Let's find people around you where you live. That's the whole purpose of the huddle, to help you find like-minded people around you so that you're not so alone. And it's important that we begin to build these networks and these fellowships. Okay, so that stuff's all at CoachDaveLive.com. And I want to thank Gary Pierce for keeping fire lit under my butt to talk about this stuff every day, because it's important. We would love to come to your town. And here's the scoop. It's not going to cost you anything. You just help us find a location, and we're going to come. We'll buy the food for the people. We'll rent the building. We'll do whatever we can to no burden on you guys, other than to try to help us get the place and promotion and that kind of stuff. So, by the way, that's told you last week or one day last week, our donations have been down. It happens every summer. It's not that people don't support us. Kids are going back to school now. They got to buy school clothes and book bags and shoes and college tuition. So some of you who aren't fighting those things, help us out a little bit so we can continue to fund this stuff going forward. Don Voss, jump in here real quickly. Don, if you can, come in here and tell us how your event went up there in, I think it's called Elkhorn. Is that right? Are you there, Don?
Hi, everyone.
Yeah, he's there.
I want to thank everybody for coming up and sharing and helping us. And
How many did you have?
Eight or nine at least.
Cool. Great. Real short notice. I mean, we only had about 8 days to get ready for it. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was a fair, not a parade. So we spent about an hour and a half sharing with the people, just one-on-one or two-by-two, and walked the parade and actually got to see what was going on there. And Jason Murphy was there with his family. The whole family showed up.
Wow.
And they had his mom and his daughter, the mother and one of the daughters stood underneath the tree under the Gates banner, or near the Gates banner, with two signs, and then the rest of us mingled for a while. And then Jason's dad came out with a megaphone and started preaching, and it's no different, Coach, wherever you go. As soon as the word goes forth, you know, then they're screaming.
Yes, sir. Those demons get caught up. Yep.
Oh, yeah, and the cops showed up. And I happen to know one of the police officers, and they let us speak. They didn't knock us down, but they did want us to turn the volume down because they thought that's what was causing the violence. I said, no, man, it's not that. It's when the word goes forth, it doesn't matter what the volume is. When the word goes forth, they start to scream. I've done this enough to know. And she let us continue, but we had went with the volume down, and we were there for about probably 2 hours. Little over. I think we left at about 12:30, quarter to one, and it was already starting to break down. And there was a farmer's market there, and they thanked us for being there. I was able to talk to a couple people there.
You know, Don's amazing because you've really stepped out on faith. You've come down here for a couple of our events, but brother, you're really starting to take it to the streets. And even though you had a small crowd, it's important for us to go be the voice of truth. We have to speak that voice of truth. As the song goes, you have to go when you're not invited. You have to speak when you don't have the floor. And I just salute you guys, Don, for pulling that together up there.
Well, I want to thank my son, too, and his wife, Ashley, who kind of showed us that, look, this is out there. It's right in our back yard. We need to do something. And it wasn't the first coach. They did do a small one last year, but it wasn't on the square. Now they're, you know, they're getting more emboldened. So,
well, now the good thing is, Don, if they plan on doing it next year, they're now going to have to factor you in. I mean, I'm serious, right? They probably had no opposition at all. And now for the first time they had opposition, and they're going to have to factor that in next year. What are we going to do to that crazy guy that comes with that megaphone and all that kind of stuff? So, man, I really salute you guys, Don, for doing that.
We were a little more incognito, but it didn't matter, guys. Whenever the word goes forth, they are there and they're screaming. And, I mean, it was totally different parade as soon as that the word started being preached. It was a 180 shift.
Amen. Amen. Hey, you feel like you accomplished something. How'd your son handle it? Did he like it okay?
Yeah, and none of the glory, you know, goes to me, guys. This is all the Lord. And Jason and his father, those are the bold ones. They stood there with a microphone and preached the word. And I was back and just, you know, standing and helping those guys and keeping them off, you know.
But Don, you sent out the clarion call and people responded to the call. That's the encouraging thing. And we'll build on that.
Josh is the one that prodded me. I don't want any glory. I just want to be, you know, I want to do it.
Well, telling the truth isn't receiving glory. What it does, Don, is it encourages others to know they can do it where they are. And that's one of the whole ideas of the brigade. When Don put out this call that needed some help, I couldn't come because I was already committed to something, but these guys went. They went. David got in here this morning. They went. And so that's what we as watchmen, that's why we're trying to get everybody organized. To be the watchman on the wall. Make me proud, Don. You guys make me proud. There's plenty going on out there, and plenty of things to oppose, that's for sure. Now, I thought, anybody for the good of the group before I dive in here real good. Have I forgotten?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
We went to the woods this weekend to the homeless camps and stirred the demons up there. You know how that is when you go into the homeless camps. It gets crazy.
Yeah.
There's probably about 30, 40 of them in that homeless camp back there, which at Mount Vernon thought there was only about 6 or 8 of them. We had a one man and a woman. This woman's in a wheelchair, and she's in there with cancer in her lungs and MS, and they are in that camp. Hmm. Well, his name, he nicknames Opie. He got saved this weekend, and we hauled him to church Sunday morning, loaded her wheelchair, and we are getting them out of the woods. Now, we had about 6 or 8 other people that were conscience were pricked, and we got some follow-up going on in there. But most of the people in Mount Vernon didn't know those places down there. I mean, and it's heavily drug use.
Sure.
Hung a box on the tree for them to put their needles in. I mean, it's just crazy back there. And, you know, it was a great weekend. We actually, this was amazed me. We had 5 people from the Mount Vernon area show up, which was terrible. Not hardly anybody. And there was, I bet there was 200-400 people that knew in the city of Mount Vernon. But we had, and I'm really proud of these guys this weekend, 32 people from our church showed up. I mean, some people's never done this. But we talked about it yesterday morning in church that, you know, 32, usually there's 4. Our core group, you know how they are. But we had 32 people show up, and they loved it. So we're going to do another here, Shockton. But there was a lot of blessings went forth, and we're going to do some follow-ups down there. And Pastor Roger Tickle got on board in Mount Vernon. He's going to come down and help us. We're going to go down, you know, once a week, twice a week, whatever, and crack the word open and just share with these guys. But we got some people that want to get out of there, but we've told them, you know, first you got to find Jesus, get off the dope. Then we look for a job, then an apartment. So they know the deal, but it was great. We had the big tent set up, the food trailer, and we were there for 2.5 days and camped with them. So it was good.
I pray there's a lot of fruit from that. And see, again, what this does is exposes the local church because they don't like to do the prophetic minute. They don't like to go fight abortion and homosexual churches I'm talking about. They don't fight abortion and homosexuality and the debauchery in the schools because whatever. They don't like to do that. But they say they like to take care of the poor and the needy. So it exposes them, but they don't even like to do that either. The truth is they don't like to get out and do anything. And God bless you guys for getting out there and doing that. Anybody else? Any news out there? Dale's back in there. I see that Dale said he couldn't get in for a couple of days. Looks like he made it back in this morning. Nothing else? Okay. What I said that this is gonna be one of those shows that it's gonna be a good one. Gonna be a good one. And I spent, as I said, had the opportunity this weekend. I don't know if I said this before the show or after the show. I had the opportunity to spend most of the weekend with L.A. Marzulli. L.A. Marzulli was in town he's in with a guy named Fritz Zimmerman, who's written several books on the earthworks, the mounds here in central Ohio, actually in the Midwest. A lot of them. But Newark, where I live, seems to be the real center of it. And I got the opportunity, as hanging out in L.A., that's why I walked so much yesterday. We climbed hills and mountains, and we were spelunking and doing all kinds of great and wonderful things. But one of the things that L.A. opened the door for me to do here in Newark, Ohio, is what they call the Octagon Mounds. We have two different sets of mounds. Jared, maybe I don't know if we can pull that picture up. I want people to see this. Where is it? Yeah, Jared, it's a video. It says a short video on the Newark earthworks. I want you guys to see this. This is my hometown. And I went, not hometown, home county, same county. So Jared, go on, just scroll on down a little bit more, Jared. I want people to see the map so they have a great understanding of the earthworks. Bear with a sec. There it is, Jared, I think. Okay, folks, now, this is where we went. I know if you guys can see on the screen right now, I don't know how to do this in a way it's going to make sense to you. Well, I'll let the video. Jared, let's do this. Let's go back to about this thing's only a minute long, so let's go back right there and just let this thing play. And I want you, then Jared, I want you to be able to freeze it when we're done with it. Go back and freeze it on the screen. So this is a minute long. This is what LA and I we did this week. We investigated this.
Newark, Ohio. With its courthouse square and leafy streets, this is a typical town of the American heartland. 17 centuries ago, this was a center.
Okay, now these are the earthworks that we're going to talk about here, right? Now, I can't point and show you guys all this stuff, but you see it's concentric. That's a big word. It's a series of circles, mounds. You see all those things as it's laid out. It's laid out over like a three-mile period. A 3-mile area. Now, understand this. We are up, like looking down on it. So we can see the shape. But when you're down on the ground, it's flat. And you don't understand how this whole thing is all connected. That's what I want to talk about. Go ahead, Jared. Let that play.
For a very different culture. Here, American Indians built the largest geometric earthwork complex in the world. Enormous enclosures connected by walled roadways were spread across more than 4 square miles. This was the most spectacular of many such earthworks, concentrated along the tributaries of the Ohio River, marking the people's beliefs, rituals, and sense of community. Today, only fragments remain. Although here at Newark, we can still walk among these vast shapes and feel how they direct our eyes and footsteps.
Okay, Jared, go to my Facebook page, okay? So, folks, understand this. This picture that you're seeing there right now, this is clearly an artist's rendition of what when you're looking down on it, you see. And L.A. Did some filming, did some drone flying, did some different things was there. And one of the things that he did was he had a surveyor who came and surveyed of the right there would be good, Jared. I did a bunch of videos, but I want you guys to see from a flat point of view. Anyway, the surveyor came and said, listen, folks, this was impossible for the Indians to have done this. However many years ago it is, they don't know how many years ago. They don't know. They say, they certainly say it's BC, but nobody knows. And the surveyor said he he surveyed this circle, like the circle works. They know it's at least 2,000 years old. He did a, he surveyed it, and he said it's within 6 inches of perfectly flat all the way around it, 2,000 years later. Within 6 inches of perfectly flat inside the circle. It's a huge circle. Huge, huge, huge. Goes over 50 acres. It's amazing. And says that this technology, however they did this, they couldn't have done it. They didn't have the technology to be able to do it. They didn't even know how to make a right angle of three, four, five. They didn't even, where did this science come from? So I want to show you this quick little video. I don't even know which one it is. But as we're in this golf cart riding around this golf course, which is now built in the middle of this octagon mound. So this is just a couple minutes here. And just get so you get a feel what this looks like. Go ahead, Jared.
I'm gonna do just a cut. This is amazing. We're still at the Mound Builders Country Club. LA's putting a drone up in the air. You're looking at me. Here's the amazing thing. As you go around this octagon, every time it changes directions, another mound is built. There's a mound in front of it. In other words, they have the mounds that go around the octagon.
We got guys on the tee box, guys.
They're playing golf.
Guys are hitting the ball towards us here. Here's what I wanted you to see. This is a green. I'm not sure which hole we're on here. But it's a green inside a mound. Here at Mound Builders Country Club. Look at this. Here's the green. And it's a mound. All the way around it.
So Jared, if you can stop this, Jared, and go back to the other short video I showed. So again, you can get a concept. There it is, folks, okay? The golf course is inside that octagon. Do you see that octagon right there? That eight-sided thing right there. Yeah, Jared. That's the octagon. And these are all, it's just, and what else you can't see? Jared, point to the dots within the octagon, inside of it. Yeah, those dots, those mounds. Folks, every time there was an opening, there's a mound inside, another mound inside. So in other words, there's another octagon shape. The mounds aren't connected. Everywhere time there's an opening, there's a big mound. And this has to do with the changing of the time and the seasons, the lunar eclipse, all this kind of stuff. The technology, I don't understand. No, I don't know. I don't understand. I'm telling you, I don't understand it. So no way, this architect said, I'm sorry, this surveyor said, that this thing could have been built by people with clamshells and buckets. Fritz, who's written several books on this, said just the dirt in the mounds, you ready for this? The dirt in the mounds, if you put today's dump trucks, which carry what, 10 tons? If you put today's dump trucks and filled them with dirt to build the mounds would require, are you ready? Dump trucks, form back to back, 450 miles long. Now, how did this dirt get moved? Who did this? Nobody really seems to know. Nobody knows. Well, that's what LA does. That's why it was so great to be out there with them, because, oh, man. See, people think I've lost my mind. I haven't lost my mind. I'm trying to figure out what the heck is going on. Are you sitting down? Some of you may want to tune out right now. And you can go ahead and tune out and you can do whatever you want to. Because I'm going to tell you this. This is just as real. Uh-oh. You going to say that, Coach? Yeah, I am. This is just as real as the rapture. This is just as real as the flood. We've read about the flood, but we don't know the details of the flood. These landmarks like this are all across the Midwest, Ohio in particular. They have the serpent mounds. Jared, I don't even know. You probably can't. It's okay. You don't have to do it. The Serpent Mound down in Chillicothe, Ohio. These mounds are all over the Midwest, but specifically in the Newark, Ohio area. Okay? This is evidence of something. They don't know what it, Nobody knows. You know, the last time this place had been surveyed was 1847. 1847 was the last time it had been surveyed in any way. There's no curiosity about it because they've told us that they are burial grounds, and so they don't want to dig into the burial ground. Okay? Now, boy, hey, here we go. Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? Because I'm going to give some of you time to leave right now if you want to. Go to Matthew 24, Jared. Go to Matthew 24. Leave now or forever hold your peace. Don't blame me. Don't blame me. I'm just going to deliver the word. And Jared, go to chapter 37, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay, now hang on a minute. What were the days of Noah like? That's data, Mark Trump. That's data. Just like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming of Son of Man. Cool. What was it like in those days? Well, wasn't that day there before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, a lot of people take this as the rapture. You got to, how do you compare the flood to the rapture? And by the way, I think it's interesting to note that in the flood, the righteous people went through it. They weren't taken out of it. They went through the flood. They survived it. And do not, for the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating, drinking, giving marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. That's the way it's going to be. Then shall two be in the field, and there shall be one be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth cometh. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also you ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Okay? Okay, so what was it like in the days of Noah? You sitting down? Some of you probably aren't going to be able to swallow this. And by the way, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to. Hey, Jared, who was Enoch? Who was Enoch? I think that's what it says there, Jared. Who was Enoch? Jared's pulling it up here for us. This has got questions. I go here a lot. Who is Enoch in the Bible? Anybody know? Well, we'll talk about it here a second. There are at least four different men in the Bible named Enoch. Listen, we note that in Genesis about the 24, the NIV gives him the name Hanok. And some other versions, such as Darby's translation, give him the name Enoch instead. Both versions of the name Hanok is from the same version, Enoch. Other translations say Hanok, Hanok, same guy. It is only that Enoch mentions in Genesis 5 that the Bible gives any significant information about. This Enoch was the great, 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 great grandson of Adam. Okay? You can find that in Genesis 5. It says, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years, had sons and daughters, and altogether Enoch lived 365 years. Now watch this. And Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more because the Lord took him away. In other words, Enoch is the only man in history, I believe, who didn't die. He was taken away, according to what so it says in the book of Genesis. Now, Hebrews 11 gives a little bit more detail. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. But before he was taken away, he was commended as one who pleased God. This being taken away is what Enoch is most famous for. Only two people in the Bible are said to have been chosen by God to escape death, Enoch and Elijah. I'm sorry, I forgot Elijah. Enoch appears to have given this privilege due to being a man who walked faithfully with God. For what purpose was Enoch taken away? The Bible doesn't say. The most common assumption is that he could serve as one of the witnesses along Elijah at the end time. So anyway, let's stop here. Enoch was a great hero of the Bible, a man who really lived, and a man who was so righteous, he walked with God. So righteous, the Lord just took him. Didn't die. All right. So far, so good. You guys riding along here with me on this horse? Let's go back here a minute. What was it like in the coming of the Son of Man? What was it like in the days of Noah? All right. Well, okay. Jared, pull up the book of, it says good vid, got questions. I just did that. Okay. Jared, pull up this video. It says, oh man, how did I do this? Yeah, this guy, this here. Have you guys ever read the book of Enoch? Now, I did research on the book of Enoch, and you can do it too. The book of Enoch, till about 500 years ago, was considered part of the scripture. Because Enoch was a guy who, what? He walked with God. He was a righteous man. But they determined, whoever determined, when they put the Bible together, that Enoch was, they weren't sure of the validity of who wrote the book of Enoch, so therefore they didn't include it in canonical as part of the canon. However, from a historical standpoint, Enoch would be a book written about the times. Are you with me okay on that? Everybody okay? So I have the Bible, but we also have history books. So you look at Enoch as a history book. If you don't want to look at it as scripture, then look at Enoch as a history book. Okay? Anybody want to say anything right now since somebody wants to tap me in the nose?
Keep it coming, brother.
Okay, Ben. Here we go. All right. So I want you to watch about 5 minutes of this, and I'm going to show you something. So who was Enoch? He was so righteous, he walked with God. For 300 years, he walked with God. Well, now, come on, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. We've got to connect some dots here. We've got to connect some dots here and here and here. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Well, I won't tell you. Remember this. Whoever built those mounds had to be a high look down. Had to be. You couldn't possibly have built this thing perfect to measurements over a 3 mile square on the ground. You couldn't see it. You couldn't do it. How could you possibly see? When we get LA took some drone pictures of it. Just unbelievable. So let's just watch. Let's watch 5 minutes of this video real quick. I don't even know this guy, but I found this. Go ahead. This is on Enoch.
Winter's here. Wow. And this is Florida. It's freezing, and I'm in my house. All right, I know you probably don't feel sorry for me, do you?
Hi, Steve here. I said before that I was going to go through the book of Enoch because the book of Enoch, regardless of what some so-called theologians think, I'm convinced the book of Enoch should have stayed in the scriptures. It was in the scriptures until about 500 years ago. Why didn't it? Why didn't they keep it? Probably because of what was revealed in the book of Enoch they didn't want you to know. Did fallen angels come down and mate with earthly women producing the giants recorded in Genesis chapter 6? The book of Genesis says they did, and the book of Enoch says they did. So why are there so many people that believe it's not true?
Jared,
it's all because of a mystery.
Jared, freeze it. Jared, go to Genesis 6. Hey, listen, folks, I don't care what you believe. I don't even know what I believe. Okay? I don't even know what I believe. But how we can ignore this is beyond me, okay? And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair, and they took them wives, all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. Huh? And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Angels have sex with women, create giants. Verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it made the Lord so mad he repented that he had made man on the earth and it grieved him in his heart. He said, I'm going to destroy that place. And he does it with a flood. Here comes Noah into the flood. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Y'all with me so far? This is Genesis. This ain't Coach Dave making this up. This is Genesis. Yeah, Larry?
Yeah. Enoch was Noah's grandfather. And in the scripts that have been found over somewhere there in the Mideast, I can't remember the name of them, but there's clay tablets that got cuneiform writing on them.
Yeah, they're in Kashuk, and L.A. was going to go down and video them, and they wouldn't let him in the building to do it.
Yeah, in those documents, it is recorded that Enoch gave his grandson, Noah, volumes, I think like 100 volumes of books, things that he had written, and told Noah to protect them during the flood.
Wow.
They are yet to be found. They're somewhere out there.
Isn't that something? So this is Noah's great-great-grandfather, right, Larry? Great-grandfather?
Grandfather.
They all lived together at the same time, right? These guys lived 500 years, right? So it was no big deal for you to know your great-grandfather. Sorry, Jared, back to the video. Okay, folks, I'm just trying to show you that I ain't crazy. L.A. ain't crazy. This is lining up with Scripture. What's going on in the days of Noah? Well, angels are having sex with women, creating giants. I just read it. You don't have to believe if you don't want to. Don't care what your pastor tells you. Your pastor's probably never researched it or has heard from somebody else. But to me, it's pretty clear. And Enoch writes a book about it, which I'm going to get to here in a second. Go ahead.
This interpretation of what Jesus said, recorded in Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. In that verse, Jesus was simply explaining about what human beings would be like in eternity, and the bodies we would have would be like the angels, which simply means we will have glorified bodies. Not these mortal fleshly bodies, but like too many people do, they've twisted and misinterpreted and taken out of context those verses too. But here's the ugly and dirty and unfortunate truth of man's early history. Chapter 6 of the book of Enoch talks about angels taking human wives. And it came to pass,
Let's freeze this a second, Jared. Let's go to, I sent you, Jared, the book of Enoch. It's chapter 7. Pull that up there. Okay, time out. I'm not talking about the giants coming back. I don't know about all that stuff. Here's what I'm asking. I'm asking you. Here's what L.A. asked me. Here's what the surveyor said. How did these mounds get built when the technology to build them was not available? Didn't have airplanes? Didn't have that. We don't know how. That they were able to get above it and look down on it. We don't know, okay? I don't have an answer for it. I don't know if the Nephilim are real. I don't know if they're coming back. I don't know. But when I went to this Newark Earthworks again, Jared, sorry, put that picture back up again, Jared. How did this get done? Let's say the Hopewell Indians did this. How did they do this? How did they know the calculations? How did they figure out to be perfectly, the measurements, the dimensions, perfect and everything, to make it 6 inches to perfectly level? How? Well, let's go back to the book of Enoch. Plop that up there for me, Jared, if you can. It happened after the sons of men had multiplied in those days that daughters were born to them, elegant, beautiful. And when the angels, the sons of heaven, remember this is historical. Let's say it's not biblical. This is historical. Can we say this is a historical book? Which, by the way, the Bible quotes the book of Enoch at least twice. The Bible quotes from the book of Enoch at least twice. When the angels, the sons of heaven, had beheld them, they became enamored of them, saying to each other, come, let us select for ourselves wives from the progeny of men, and let us beget children. So the angels saw the women, liked them, said, let's go down there. Then their leader, Temyaza, said to them, I fear that you may perhaps be indisposed of the performance of this enterprise, that I alone shall suffer for so grievous a crime. He said, don't do it, man. Don't do it. But they answered and said to him, we all swear and bind ourselves by mutual expressions, and we will not change our intention but execute our project undertaking. Then they all swore together and all bound themselves by mutual expressions The whole number was 200 who descended from Ardis, which is on the top of Mount Armon. The mountain, therefore, was called Armon because they had sworn upon it and bound themselves by mutual execration. Verse 9. These are the names of the angels. Well, I'll give the names of these guys, okay? They were the prefects of 200 angels and the remainder for all of them. Those were the leaders. Verse 10. Then they took wives, each choosing for himself whom they began to approach and with whom they cohabited, teaching them sorcery. The angels are teaching their wives, these women, sorcery, incantation, and the dividing of roots and trees. And the women conceiving brought forth giants, whose stature was each 300 cubits. These devoured all which the labor of men produced until it became impossible to feed them. And when they turned themselves against men in order to devour them and began to injure birds and beasts and reptiles and fishes, to eat the flesh one after another and to drink their blood, then the earth reproved the unrighteous. Okay, get it? Genesis 6. Oh, I'm sorry, Enoch 6. Let's go to Enoch 7. Let's go to 8, Jared. Hey, folks, just do some research. Just get some research. Moreover, Aziel, who was one of the leaders of the angels, look at this. He taught men to make swords, knives, and shields, and breastplates. He taught them the fabrication of mirrors and the workmanship of bracelets and ornaments and the use of paint, the beautifying of the eyebrows, the use of stones of every valuable and select kind, of all sorts of dyes, so that the world became altered. Impiety increased, fornication multiplied, and they transgressed and corrupted all their ways, as it was in the days of Noah. And Mezach taught all the sorcerers and dividers of roots. Armors taught the solution of sorcery. Barkael taught the observation of the stars. Akabiel taught signs. Tamiel taught astronomy. And Azradel taught the motion of the moon. Well, I'm getting goosebumps because I was out there on that ground looking at what was in front of me. And men being destroyed cried out, and their voice reached to heaven. Next chapter. Then Michael and Gabriel, Raphael, Suriel, and Uriel looked down from heaven and saw the quantity of blood which was shed on the earth and all the iniquity which is done upon it, said one unto another, it's the voice of their cries. Remember, blood has a voice. The earth deprived of her children has cried even to the gate of heaven. And now to you, O ye holy ones of heaven, the souls of men complain, saying, obtain justice with us. Then they said to the Lord, the King, thou art Lord of lords, God of gods, King of kings. The throne of thy glory is forever and ever. And forever and ever is thy name sanctified and glorified. Thou art blessed and glorified. Thou hast made all things. Thou possessest power over all things. And all things are open and manifest before thee. Now beholdest all things, and nothing can be concealed from thee. Now see what Aziel's done. Look what they've done, Lord. Look what they've done down there. And how he has taught every species of iniquity upon the earth. And he disclosed to the world all the secret things which are done in the heavens. The angels brought down technology that they should never have brought down. Semyaza also has taught sorcery, to whom thou hast given authority over these who are associated with him. They've gone together to the daughters of men, and they've lain with them, and they've polluted, and have discovered crimes of them. The women likewise have brought forth giants. Thus has the whole earth been filled with blood and iniquity. And now behold, the souls of those who are dead cry out and complain, even to the gates of heaven. And their groaning ascends. Nor can they escape from the unrighteous which is committed on earth. Thou knowest all things before they exist. Thou knowest these things that has been done by them, yet thou dost not speak to us. What on account of these things ought we to do with them? Well, we know what he does with them is a flood. The flood. Okay. Jared, let's go back to the vid of the man, the video of the guy. And then let's move forward about 3 minutes, Jared, because he's just going to read what I just read to you. I wanted you to see it on your own. You can get the book of Enoch. Check it out for yourself. All right? I was out there with L.A. I saw those mounds. I saw they couldn't possibly have been built by Indians with what? What were they used? What would they possibly have used to build this thing? We couldn't build it today. Go ahead and play him a little bit. So in other words, I don't care what you think about the Nephilim and whether they're coming back. That ain't even what I'm talking about. We're talking about technology that somehow came down into men. And the Lord didn't like it to the point they had to flood it to get rid of it. But the things they made are still here. The mounds are still here. Right about there, Jared. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Hey, listen, you got to do a little bit of research on your own. Let me open the door. Come on in here, man. Somebody come in here. First of all, have you ever heard this? Have you ever heard this? And I'm going to tell you something. The reason nobody will talk about it is because nobody can answer. We can't answer it in our churches. Our pastors don't know. And I don't care. Can I throw this theory out? Let me throw this theory out so that you'll think about this. We know the angels fell. We know from our own scripture the angels, 200 of them fell. We know that. Lucifer led a rebellion and was thrown out of heaven. We know that. We also know this, that angels don't die. Even fallen angels don't die. They're immortal. And so is it possible, as the theory goes, that don't call them giants, call them whatever, these hybrids, years ago, 2,000 years ago, five, however many years ago, reproduced children who were hybrids. And when they died, they didn't die. Their bodies died. But where did their spirits, souls, where did they go? I would posit out there that they're disembodied spirits that are still today impacting the world by possessing people and producing evil. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. Where did these evil spirits come from? These disembodied spirits, where did they come from? Are they the product of those who died and could not die? Now, stop a minute. Stop. I'm not even talking about the giants coming back, and I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about these structures all across America. The pyramids. We can't explain how it possibly happened. How the pyramid. Well, somebody tried to come in. Come on in. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's Nick in Australia, Coach. Look, I've heard about the Book of Enoch for a long time. I recommend people take heed. You say the Bible mentions the Book of Enoch twice?
At least twice, yes.
It doesn't mention it once. It says that Enoch prophesied, that Enoch said. There's nothing about the Book of Enoch at all in the Bible.
No, I agree with that. It doesn't, the Book of Enoch, but Enoch's quoted.
Yeah, he's quoted. Not the Book of Enoch's not quoted. Enoch prophesied. He said. The Word of God says Enoch said. He spoke. Nothing about the Book of Enoch in the Bible.
Okay, gotcha. Would you agree that his credibility to Enoch, though?
Sorry?
Just because the fact that Enoch is of Enoch doesn't mean you shouldn't read it.
I'm not saying don't read it. I'm saying take heed. There is every lie, there is truth blended into it.
Of course.
That's what's interesting. That's what makes it sound good. So just be careful of the Book of Enoch.
I'm with you. I'm saying read it as a form of history, not as a form of biblical canon.
The Apocrypha is a form of history, but I don't recommend calling it gospel either. You can read about the Maccabees; they were historical, but it's not scripture. It's not the Word of God. There is a big difference between the two. I recommend that you, as Christians, we hold fast to God's Word, 66 books of the Bible that He's endowed us with, and that we don't add to that word. We don't take from it. We don't add to it. The Book of Enoch is adding to God's word. And if all you have to look up is Book of Enoch false, type that into a Google search, and you will find a lot of information that disagrees with the Bible itself. So that's what I'm saying. Be warned. These things are exciting and, you know, they're adventurous for people, but take them with a grain of salt, Coach.
Amen. I'm talking about how these megaliths were built. I'm not saying take Enoch as biblical canon. I don't think I've ever said that. I don't think I've ever said that. I'm asking the simple question. How did these things get built?
Dave.
How did these things get built? That's the question I'm asking. Yeah, Rog.
What was the level of mathematics when they think these were built, or do they know?
Well, first of all, we don't even know when they were built. That's part of the problem. What was the level of mathematics, right?
Out if I'm just throwing out, if there was not the ability to do an aerial type, mound, was mathematics, geometry, was it far enough along that you could do that? And I don't know. I'm not trying to. I just was curious.
Again, we're burdened by two issues. Number one, we don't know for sure when these were built. We don't know.
If you're talking about over here, the state of architecture, geometry, mathematics was zip. It's a Stone Age culture. Okay, the same way the monoliths in Europe were built. You know, they relied upon heaven, taking sighting from stars and the cycles and the seasons. If it's just man that built these things. But, Coach, I just want to say, relentless pursuit of the truth. What you're doing is exactly what should be done. Nobody's questioning canon. Nobody's questioning what is and isn't in the Bible. But ask, discern. Quit shutting down conversations all the time, guys. Listen.
Amen, Noah.
I've never laid this out as, hey, guys, say what you want. I've never laid this out as scripture, ever. I'm asking, listen to me. I went and walked that place yesterday, and I saw that thing, and I'm going to tell you something. When I'm standing on one side of it, on this octagon mound, I can't even, my eyes can't even help me see the other end of it. I can't even see that far. It's perfectly formed from the sky by people who didn't even know what a protractor was, or a compass, or a right angle.
They didn't need to, brother. That's something. That's the thing.
Hey, let me interject just something. Nick came in and reinforced that Enoch does, in places in the book of Enoch, does contradict things that are said in the Bible. Therefore, and Coach is right. I don't remember ever hearing Coach say, and he said that Enoch was scripture. However, he said Enoch does contain material that can answer some of the questions that you have to ask when you look at things like these mounds. And, you know, I don't think that we should call Nick's comment shutting down this.
No.
I think we should call comment a valid caution to keep things in the right perspective.
I'm with you. My question is, see, here's the thing. What's that old saying? To hear something is one thing, to see it is another. If you guys would come and you would stand in that octagon, hey, Jared, put that picture back up again. See, here's what the problem is as we do this. You don't know what I know because you haven't been there. You haven't seen it because you haven't been there. Now, Jared, I don't know if you guys can understand this. Jared, put your marker. See that big square in the middle, Jared, that big square right there. Folks, from there, Jared, go up to the other mound. Go right. Yeah, to there is almost 3 miles. It's almost 3 miles. And these things are perfectly aligned. Do you see how straight those mounds are? They're not curved. Three miles this thing has been constructed. The octagon down here, I mean, you just got to see it. You just got to see it. And I'm asking the question, why do we so quickly believe the Hopewell Indians did it? Well, some archaeologists told us that. Yeah, George.
Coach, remember when I came into Ohio and I walked, you took me there?
Yeah, well, but I just took you to the circle mound right up here at the top. Jared, go to the top there. Show us the circle mound. It's a small one at the top, Jared. Yeah, that's the circle mound. That's that's like a mile in circumference. Perfect circle. Go ahead, George.
Coach, I was a believer after I saw that. There's too much evidence. There's no way a primitive group of Indians with very little to no technology could have done that. That was astounding. People, I'd encourage people to go see it if you can.
So as it was in the days of Noah, here's what I cannot get away with, okay? Get away from. As it was in the days of Noah, hey, dudes, what was going on in the days of Noah? What was going on? Other than people just sinning, what was so bad that the Lord said, man, I got to stop this? And don't ever forget this. It was the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And what's happening to the seed? What's happening to the perfect seed of Adam? Why, it's being polluted all along the bloodlines, being polluted, and it takes a perfect seed to get through to give us the Savior. Takes the perfect seed. And the seed was polluted so much that what did God say he had to do? I got to destroy it. I got to destroy it all and start over. And I'm going to get this perfect bloodline through and we're going to start again. Right? Are you following me? And so it says at the end days, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be at this coming of the Son of Man. What's going on now? Coming Son of Man. We're messing with the DNA again. We're creating artificial intelligence. This should build your faith, not weaken it. It's being multiplied. It's even greater with the technology. What they are doing now to the seed is so much greater than it was even in Noah's day. It's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse and worse.
Amen.
And because it was so bad in Noah's day, he sent a flood. It's getting so bad now, there's going to have to be another coming. That's the point I'm trying to make. I don't care if you believe in the giants. I don't care if you believe in the Nephilim. I don't care if you believe. I don't care about any of that. But answer a simple question. How did this get built? They can't tell you. They can't tell you.
Coach.
They had technology. It was built technology they didn't have. Yes.
Did the American Indians, they did, they went to the spirits a lot, weren't they? Much like the Aborigines here in Australia, much like the Egyptians and everyone else of all the pagan religions. They are led by spirits, Coach. They're led by deceiving spirits. They did the building, but the spirits led them what and how to build.
So Nick, have you ever walked this, Nick?
Sorry?
Have you ever walked this?
No, I've never been to America.
Nick, where did he get the tools? Where did these guys get the tools to do this?
They could be led by
evil spirits. I doubt they could be led by evil spirits. Where did they get the tools?
How they built the pyramids, Coach?
Pardon me?
We don't know how they built the
pyramids. We don't know. That's part of the debate. Yes, sir.
Hey, coach. Yeah. This is Dale.
Hey, very.
Hey, man. Yeah, having problems. But anyway, I'm dialed in. But listen, check this out. Because in Mark, I believe it's the fifth chapter with the demonic man, the possessed man. It says they put him in chains, and it could not hold him. He would break chains. When a demonic spirit comes upon a person, the power and strength of that person is an incredibly multiplied thing. So I believe the seducing of those spirits could come upon a group or a nation of these peoples and be so possessed that their power is beyond what we think. Think about it in the scripture of Mark chapter 5, when that guy was breaking chains from his body. His bones are not stronger than those chains. So then I want to go back. Going back to is it wasn't the days of Noah. Now, I don't think that those things were made during the days of Noah, because when you really watch the videos and learn about the flood, the whole earth erupted. Those things, I believe, would have been wiped out. But I believe the visitation has come. I believe when we see UFOs, I believe those are demonic spiritual activities once again visiting. I believe you want to know the next flood. My perception, what I read, is going to be a flood of fire.
Amen, Dale.
So listen here. I only got a minute and a half left. This builds my faith. This doesn't weaken my faith. When I look, see, the church, we preach and talk about the supernatural, but we don't really believe in the supernatural. We talk about it all the time, but we don't believe in it. And I'm here today.
Amen.
Something bigger than we understand is going on now and went on before. And as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be like that again. And there's nothing new under the sun. And I'm not afraid. I am so deeply rooted in my faith in Christ. I'm not going to be led away. I'm not going to be led away by doctrines of demons. I'm not going to be led away. But I stood on that octagon and I looked across there and I said, Lord, how did they do this? I'm going to tell you, it isn't the way they told us it was. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.